Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. It's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. We are talking Padres. We will talk Padres A's because I think we all probably need to get acquainted with the Oakland A's. It's another interesting series where the Padres are playing a team that, I think they're dangerous. We'll get to that. Ryan, where would you like to start?
You know, it's funny. This season to me has been a roller coaster. I think tonight you go, they're great. Then the next day, they'll never win again. And then they'll play great for a while and they'll go, well, maybe this is a playoff team. And then they'll play awful for a while. And I think you saw that really a microcosm of their season was this series with the Diamondbacks that just wrapped up. Game one, missed opportunities. One of those games that you could look back at the end of the season and say, man, if a couple things go a different way, they win that game. Games two and three, they look like the best team in baseball. Game four may have been, it's certainly in the running for the worst they've played all year. And Kevin, is this just a hallmark of a mediocre team? Or is there enough sort of spark? Are the goods good enough to have you thinking that they're still, playoff caliber?
Man, you have opened a box. I don't know if it's Pandora's, but you've opened a box here. You said a lot of things that I'm like, yes, I'm tracking with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're spot on. I think it needs to be said that, and you sort of brought it full circle, that is the hallmark of a 500 team. It's like, but like a Padres, I think is a little different. And I always try to remember myself and caution other people. This is the only team that we watch on a daily basis. So we don't really know what's happening with all these other teams and how did they get to their record and all that. But look, we've all watched the Padres over and over and we know each season has its own story. And this story has been. And I think that it was Jeff Sanders who said to me, if Mike Schill doesn't like roller coaster, I think it merry-go-round is the word for this, the ride that the Padres are on, because it's around and around. Now, I would say it's not the carousel like the horses, because that's boring. I would say it's the old one at the playground that is now outlawed, where you could spin kids around, and it's amazing that more kids didn't get amputated by this thing. That's what this is, because it has been good. I do think this team, to jump ahead, is good. I do. And I think that what they were doing early in the season, even though the record was, around 500, just like it is now, and what they did in those two games, and I'm not saying, double digit hits and double digit runs every game, but what they did in those two games in the middle where they won 10-3 and 13-1, and they pitched well and they hit like crazy. They are average. They lead the major leagues and they found some slug. I think that they've shown enough of that they are a good team. There are a lot of warning signs. There are. So all of that babbling was to say, yes, Ryan, I think this is the hallmark of a 500 team. And guess what? If I'm not mistaken, they're in the second wild card position at 34-35.
This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Not to get too esoteric here, Kevin, I don't know if they're the best bad team in baseball or the worst good team in baseball, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense, but we got to remember relative. I'm not saying you don't want to be the Dodgers.
Right.
But other than the asterisk season, okay, and it was, and we got to say that for the Padres too. I don't think they make the playoffs in 2020 if that's a 162-game season, unless they, were built differently and whatever. But injuries, and would have ended up derailing them there. It's an asterisk World Series for the Dodgers. How's it going for them winning 100-plus games every year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that really what you want to do? Or do you want to be your best at the end of the season?
Right. So do you want to get into the tournament?
To remember as we judge this team, the exhausting chase of like trying to figure them out from day to day.
Yeah. And I don't envy you because again, night to night, you have to tell us what you see, and many nights they look great and many nights they look terribly. Somebody who's been looking fantastic of late though is Fernando Tatis Jr. Getting back to, and again, you've said this from February up till now, if the Padres are going to be a championship contending style team, they need better production from Machado, Tatis, and Bogarts. Well, Bogarts is out. Machado is out. Tatis is really coming into his own on this recent hitting streak. What's he doing differently?
Well, first, I expect that Machado will be back in. I've expected that for a couple days. I said that a couple days ago that within the next few days, and that would be today, he is going to play. And I expect, and Mike Schilt has said that he will DH when he comes back. So, so what is Tatis doing differently? Wrote about it. I think I was in Kansas City when I talked to him about it. His dad on the last homestand was here in San Diego, and they worked together. Some of the stuff that they did in the off season, which is, first off, I'm not a hitting coach. Always say that. And neither are you. So let's not get too technical here, but they're talking about the lower half and staying in his legs and staying back. So he's not that reach around the ball thing. And all of that, then when he's good and right, it allows him to have the confidence and he can stay on pitches, which means further past him, not past him, but you know what I'm saying, deeper. And he's hitting the ball all over the place. Where have his home runs been to recently? Center field, man. Home runs count the same when you're pulling them, but you know, this is a sign that Tatis is you know, on fire. This is the kind of Tatis that can affect the team in terms of like carrying them. I still contend that Manny Machado is that player, and he is the guy batting third and fourth, and he is the guy that has got to get up to where Tatis's numbers are now.
Sure. And there were some signs of this, right, with Tatis. I mean, we had talked in the past month or so about some of the peripheral stuff trending in the right direction.
Yes. And he's chasing less, and even when he does chase, I track this, when he does chase, it's pitches that everyone chases. It's not the typical slider out or below the zone that he chases. Like he is chasing kind of the quote unquote right kind of pitches when he does chase. And these are the zones he gets into, man. And this is these are the guys we watch. So we go, why are they so up and down? For the most part, the greats, they're streaky. Their streaks happen to be a month and 2 months long, right? Because almost every player is streaky. But the greats, it's like, oh my gosh, for 2 months, that guy was among the best players in baseball. And that is what Tatis is doing right now, is the longest hitting streak of his career, the longest hitting streak in baseball. His OPS and his average is like a 410 with an 1130 or something like that, is the highest he's ever had in a streak of, you know, where 10 or more games. So what I'm saying is, it's not like one of these hitting streaks where it's 1-for-4 every night. Right. And lately, I think it's 3 home runs in 6 games or so. It's 3 home runs in June, whatever. Right. So 9 games, 8 games. He's on fire.
Right. Last time we talked, we were praising Adam Major. It's been 2 starts. We'll figure it out. The rookie right-hander. And one of the reasons why we praised his start in Anaheim is that's not often how it goes for somebody thrown into leagues for the first. And then Sunday, I think you got a glimpse of the flip side of that, which is, I mean, it was over and out pretty quickly for him. A Diamondbacks team that had been pretty overwhelmed the previous 2 games really jumped on him early. What's the latest just in terms of starting pitching? What have we heard about Darvish and Musgrove? Is there anybody in the pipeline who might be able to come up and help, or are they just destined to ride the roller coaster with this guy until people get healthy?
Not that, because, you know, as we've known from the start, they're looking for help. Also, Darvish should come back, and now I've lost track. It's sometime this week Darvish would be eligible to come back. Will he? We'll see. But he has been throwing in the bullpen. And so Darvish should be fairly soon. Joe, I'm thinking more July/August. Hey, could be if Joe Musgrove needs arthroscopic surgery, it could be the playoffs that you are, or September that you see Joe, or next year. But I'm getting way far ahead of myself. Major, yeah, look, I think we said it last time. That was impressive. It was impressive as heck.
Yes.
He was facing the Angels.
Yes.
He was yesterday facing a team that had been embarrassed the previous 2 games. And it was fairly predictable. I'm not saying like that I said, oh, this is going to happen. Major is going to get beat. But like, it's virtually never surprising when a team has been lambasted the previous 2 days, right? Usually it's a 3-game series, and the one team comes in and destroys them. And in the 3rd game, you know, that team is fired up and also yesterday happened to be facing a rookie pitcher. Yesterday happened to have gotten I think probably an error on Solano, but you know, it wasn't the easiest play. And so, okay, fine. But a mistake on a ground ball or not a good play on a ground ball. And so those things conspired, and Major had a, you know, what could have been his first start. Right. So probably gets a chance going forward because you asked about the options. And, you know, they have an off day coming up after the end of this series. So Thursday could, I guess, but go with a bullpen. But the problem is he's not going to be due up until the weekend in New York. Right. And then you've got 10 more games before a day off. Right. So you don't want to do that to your bullpen with, say, a Morahone or a Brito. So,
well, look, and he's not a strikeout pitcher. Right. I mean,
he's not a strikeout pitcher. That's the other thing. It's like he's got to be in the zone and maybe facing the right kind of team. I mean, look, yeah, he's their number three pitching prospect. They probably got rid of their one of their top two in Thorpe and what some people thought in Iriarte, you know, better than Major. And I'm not trying to put him down. I'm just trying to set realistic expectations of what he is.
Right. Some nights your defense turns three double plays behind you the way it did when he started against the Angels. Some nights your fill-in third baseman can't make a throw. Like, that's what happens when you're not a strikeout pitcher. At some point you fall victim to riding the roller coaster of your defense.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, so look, I don't think this is going to be, they're going to add a pitcher. I don't know who it'll be, but they're going to add a pitcher probably because they need to, but also it's like, it's not going to work out perfectly. You can say that you expect Joe back. You can say that Yu Darvish will come back and be healthy. Look, they've both already been on the injured list twice. This is, I don't want to say AJ Preller's legacy and make this, I'm really trying not to make this about him keeping his job, but like, this is the year, man. This is the year, both for him and for the Padres. Like, I don't want to get too far ahead, but this is the year. I'm not saying 2025, they can't be a contender or beyond that, but it's just like, you have this team right now and a lot of things are going right.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Is they're getting career type years from guys that do lead you to think, okay, well, that's what great teams do, right? Is they get great seasons from guys who, you know, don't really do that on the regular. I mean, in a season in which you're getting, you know, Cronenworth back to who he was, recent slump notwithstanding. You've got Profar playing out of his mind. Jackson Merrill's acquitted himself nicely in center field. Enough is going right. I think that if you're only a pitcher and an outfielder away, or a pitcher and a bat away, you got to push your chips in, don't you?
Yes, for what you can. And, you know, Jeff Sanders would be able to speak to this, but like, from my understanding from him, they did thin themselves out. That doesn't mean they've done a really good job of, I don't want to say this, like pushing off the prospects on people. They can get people to make them better. They don't need this huge influx, but they do need to cover some innings and they need to be quality innings.
Right. And AJ Preller is very good at producing prospects, right? I mean, his legacy, it's a different show. We're not going to talk about this today. But I think his legacy in a lot of ways is creating prospects and then trading them, right? I'm sure there are prospects left to be traded. And I'm sure that there will be more created just the way they are. And again, you know, pitching, there are inexpensive quality pitchers out there that you probably wouldn't have to give up an arm or a leg. And I wonder if they do that or if they go after, you know, the White Sox guy who they were sort of linked to on Twitter. You know?
What they have hoped, and by the way, the White Sox guy, it's a kind of a cardinal rule of mine to not debunk other people's reports. So I'm not doing that.
Right.
The guy's already pitched, I believe, or is approaching career high in innings. I'm not sure exactly what you'd be expecting of him this year. That doesn't mean that that's not a trade they wouldn't make because you're not just building for this year. But if we are talking about help this year, what has been their hope? And maybe the timeline has been pushed up. From my understanding, it kind of has, unfortunately, though they'd still love to survive, is they'd love to go for a top-notch available starter. Maybe I shouldn't say top-notch, like, you know, $30 million guy, but that by July is only owed a certain amount of money.
Yes.
Not now where you're still at two-thirds of the money or something, right? Like, they also focused on controllable guys, which also means cheaper. Controllable means cheaper. So yes, I believe that there is a starter coming almost because there like has to be.
Right, right, right. The Marlins keep losing. They have some pitchers.
They have some really decent pitchers and some lefties you could add to your rotation that is all righty.
Right. No, that's absolutely
all righty, but not all right. I couldn't help myself. No. I'm sorry.
You're not talking about Ryan Weathers, are you?
I am not, though. Ryan is capable of putting up some good outings, but no, I'm a little more Braxton Garrett. I don't know that they're going to get rid of that. Like, they got fleeced a little bit on the that's the impression by people in their organization, by people around on the Arise deal, right?
Right.
And I'm not sure that it's going to be so easy to get Luzardo or somebody from them. So,
right.
You know what? It's like never easy. And it's easy for us to sit here and say they got fleeced, but that's not me talking. I would never say that. There's people to be like, what in the world was that?
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Then Kevin, the Oakland A's visit the 3-game series tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I follow baseball. I love baseball. You follow baseball. You love baseball. I think what both of us know about the Oakland A's could probably fit into this empty Gatorade cap I'm holding in front of you. Please enlighten me. Tell me something about the visiting Oakland A's.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, sometimes I get so like just bogged down in the Padres and I get, you know, busy on stuff and I come to a podcast and I don't know much about the opponent and I'm embarrassed. I'm like, that's not how a journalist, I got to know. Well, you know, the fact that I had to do some real research on the A's, I'm not embarrassed by it. Does anyone know the A's? I know Brent Rooker. Okay.
Yeah.
Brent Rooker is their most dangerous hitter, though they do have a couple guys there that got some pop. And I think they're dangerous, and I think their pitching is dangerous. But Brent Rooker's a guy who the Padres got in the – and he's the primarily the A's DH. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what he does. He's an outfielder as well. But DH was an all-star last year for the A's. But they got him in the Taylor Rogers deal. Mm-hmm. He was the other player that came over. You know, Chris Paddock, Emilio Pagan, mm-hmm. beginning of 2022. He played like 2 games for them, went 0-7. They traded him for a AAA catcher in 2022, thinking that they would need, it was Cam Gallagher from the Royals, that they would need a guy who played in the majors because, you know, AJ's always feeling like he needs catchers. Well, they gave Brent Rooker away for nothing. He was then let go by, he did nothing for the Royals either in very limited chances. And now with the A's, has something like an 850 OPS in the last 2 seasons. Like, this guy is a legit player. Mm-hmm. That's it right there. I just talked up the A's lineup. Though, like I said, they've got their catcher, their Langoliers.
Yep. Shea Langoliers. Yep.
So here's the deal. Tonight, Dylan Cease against Joey Estes. Mm-hmm. Pretty good young guy.
I think Braves prospect. Yeah.
This is only his, I think, 5th start of the season and 8th start of his career. But he's had some really good games. I think he's coming off having shut out the Mariners, got into the 7th. The kid tomorrow, J.P. Sears, he's going against Randy Vasquez. 3 straight quality starts for J.P. Sears. I believe he's like the veteran of the 3 pitchers that they'll see. He's a lefty. A lefty the next night, Hogan Harris against Michael King. And let me get this. I got to look at them this time here. This is his 9th. Career start, coming off 6 shutout innings against the Blue Jays. These are dangerous young pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Padres don't fare particularly well against bad teams. They don't fare particularly well against left-handed pitching. Sometimes the more obscure the guy, the better a chance he has. And they don't get more obscure than a couple of those names that you
The A's are 1 game better than the Angels in terms of the standings. I think if people, I haven't asked this question, but like, the way I hear people talk about the A's you think are significantly better than the Angels. And I think a lot of it maybe has to do with pitching, has to do with young players, maybe has to do with their manager. A lot of people think very highly of Mark Kotze. A lot of people think highly of Ron Washington, but maybe not as a manager. It's a dangerous series. I will say this. I got to make sure how to phrase this. Like, I do think it is about how the Padres play. I think they're a good team. I think they're far better than the A's. Like, it is about how the Padres play. They came out of that Angels series, and then after the first loss to the Diamondbacks, and in their ball talk, they just assessed their losing streak, this 5-game losing streak, in which they lost by a total of 6 runs.
Right.
And they were like, and I guess my understanding is Xander Bogaerts' input was, this is the nicest 5-game losing streak ever. And understand that Xander Bogaerts, English might not even be his second language, okay? Mm-hmm. So, like, don't get down on, oh, the nicest. It's like, you understand what he's saying, okay? Mm-hmm. It was, they got incredible pitching. It had never been done in the history of the game since earned runs became a thing, that you got 5 quality starts and out-hit your opponent in all 5 games and you lost them. That never been done. Like, it was the craziest 5-game losing streak. Might have been a little similar to last year, sure, with the 1-run losses and all that. But, and they said, but our, like, we are sensing a little bit of a lack of urgency. Mm-hmm. And again, does that say some alarm bells? Sure, it does. But they assessed it and they came out and they kicked, you know, they destroyed the Diamondbacks the next 2 nights and then they lost. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Certainly would hope that that's not something they have to address again after the A series.
Right. Absolutely. This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. All right, I put you on the spot at the end of every podcast. Today is no different. I know how much you look forward to these. Simple question. What would you have done with the Oakland A's, given their stadium situation, relocation, et cetera, for our listeners who don't know? The A's are going to eventually move, it appears, to Las Vegas. In the interim, they will be playing in minor league parks for a couple of years. Something that has not gone over well with the Players Association or with the A's themselves. We know a little bit about teams leaving here in San Diego. What do you make of their whole situation?
I will say that it made me very sad. There were some days I couldn't even read the coverage because basically I read the first part or heard the first part of the, you know, story, and I knew exactly what it was going to say. It was the Chargers playbook, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let a stadium go to hell, blame the fans, blame the city. And that's not to say the city didn't have some blame to take in there. And the, mm-hmm. and the two sides pointing fingers or the two sides saying this and that. Mm-hmm. And it's just very political. And it just made me sad. It made me sad for the people of Oakland and sad again for the people of San Diego. From a business standpoint, I mean, I loved the ballpark, but that was just because it was the last of a kind and I didn't have to go there every night.
Right.
From a business standpoint, yeah, they're never going to play a home game in Vegas.
Nope.
You would think.
Nope.
But you know what? That money will still be green. Those checks will still get cashed. The, you know, Venmos, whatever, however you pay for stuff at the ballpark, you know, that's still going to go into Fisher's pocket, right? The owner. Yeah. It's sad. It is. But the fact is, they engineered it this way. I don't know enough to know how legitimate all those renderings and everything down in the bay and how beautiful that all looked. I don't know enough. I know it's impossible to get a stadium built in San Diego. Heck, they just turned down a stadium, crushed the vote in Kansas City. They lost by 18 points to get a new stadium in Kansas City. And they love the Royals there. And that's Missouri, where they don't have the tax issues that we have. I never had any optimism that the A's were going to stay in Oakland. And that's a sad thing.
It's super sad. It is super sad. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres A's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Petco Park. And then, Kevin, you get to fly to New York City. Fantastic. All right. Well, for Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.